Welcome to Word Birds, where you'll hear content conversations directly from the flock. Join Christopher Willis in conversation with content experts and thought leaders as they chat about how to make the most out of your words in business. Here's your host, Chris.
Hello and welcome to Word Birds, a birds of a feather conversation amongst people that care about words. Today on the show, Morty Oberstein. Morty is the head of SEO branding at Wix, the website company. This is an amazing episode. We're going to be talking about how Google looks at your website, profiles that website, and then uses your tone, your words, to deliver better results to end users. This episode ends with actionable advice on how you can start today building a more findable website. Let's sit back and get some insight from the flock. Hello, Morty. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Excited to talk to you today. I know one of the things in your role at Wix is obviously dealing with Google. And I was reading in the notes that you've said that you think that Google is profiling our websites. What do you mean when you say profiling our websites?
On one foot, in 2016, I think it's 2016, I'm terrible with years, Google introduced its first machine learning property into the algorithm. And since then, it's introduced multiple machine learning properties into the algorithm. Machine learning, fundamentally, what it does is profile. It takes input and then it matches it up, whether or not this input is, well, matches up to what you have on your website. For example, someone once asked one of Google's search advocates, how does X, Y, and Z work? And he said, well, what we basically do is we look at how content around this topic is spoken about across the web. We feed it into machine learning, and then we understand that for this topic, this is how you generally want to talk about something. And then we look at your website and we see if it aligns or not. So that's what I mean by a profile. So for example, let's just say and I've seen a case like this, you offer information about loans, business loans. Google will say, for this kind of content, you can be taking out a lot of money. You can ruin your whole financial life. If you screw this up, your business will close. Your wife will divorce you. Your kids will hate you. You really want to get this information right. We kind of think that you shouldn't have a marketing tone in the content here because that's not really appropriate. So things like, this is a great loan. You'll never regret taking it out. That's not the kind of profile that we're looking for. And what Google did back in September of 2019 for a bunch of these websites was say, hey, you have your content profile. And what we think the content profile should be for this topic matter, they don't align. So your rankings are gone. So that's when Google's profile, Google's looking at your website, trying to see who you are, what you're talking about, and if that aligns to what they think you should be talking about, how you should be talking about it.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I think that has ramifications across everything that we create. Like, how deep do they go? Like, the first thing I think, I mean, you gave an example of a loan, banking. Consumer products, what does that mean to a software company? What should I be doing selling B2B software? What does Google think? How does Google think I need to communicate?
Yeah, it's a really good question because no one really knows. Google's not spilling the secret sauce. Well, partially because they don't know the secret sauce. It's all ever changing. It's machine learning. They don't know exactly what it is. What you generally see across the web, and you'll see people like myself who study these things and looking at these things point out, it's like in the case of, say, a software company, what used to be a lot of the practice from back in the day is you would cast a wide web, you'd take your blog and you talk about anything under the sun just to get the traffic in. And once you got the traffic in, you'd hook, line, and sinker, you get them to buy your product somehow. What Google's doing now is basically saying, wait a second, why are you doing that? Because that content doesn't really relate to who you are and what you do. And if you have that kind of content, so worst case, they won't rank you for any of that. So you've invested tons of time, tons of effort, tons of money into creating content to sort of cast this wide net, to bring in lots of traffic, and then grab it once they're on your website. That's not good. You just wasted all that time. Google's not going to give you that traffic anymore. Worst case scenario is Google will do something like, okay, you're selling widgets, but you're writing about ice skating on the website. Obviously, this is a far-fetched scenario, but if you look back at what's going on the web historically, is it really that far-fetched? You've seen people do all sorts of crazy things trying to bring traffic in. Google will question whether or not you're legit. Are you trustworthy? Are you authoritative? If you're talking about topics that don't really relate to what you're doing, or it's clear you're just creating low-quality content just to bring people into the website, well, can we trust any of your content, even the good stuff? Because quality, by the way, is a signal that a lot of people think that Google is a page-by-page thing. Google ranks pages, not websites. But quality is one of the things that Google has said is an across the board, across the website domain level analysis. Meaning if you have too much low quality content, that can impact the other good quality content that you have.
Okay, so let's personalize this to me. So SEO strategy to leverage, for instance, a bigger competitor's branding through the creation of a blog article or a series of blog articles discussing that particular company so that when somebody searches for that company, they find our blog. Google's saying irrelevant content does not have anything necessarily to do with us. We're not directing traffic to your blog regardless, or at least rarely. Like, it's a relevance play. I created something about somebody else to put on my website to capture their traffic. No matter what I do outside of paying for Google ads, I'm not getting SEO. I'm not getting traffic. I'm not getting organic search traffic driven to my website as a result of that page because it's not relevant to me. It's not part of our message. It's not part of what we do. And Google's going to see that.
It all depends on how Google will see it. Will they see it? Like, are you going to write a whole bunch of articles about the competitor and Google to think like, okay, you should rank number two. Maybe you won't rank number one and beat at the brand itself. Is that content helpful? Is that content talking about things that help your user base that are insightful, helpful, substantial information? Because even if Google is not aware of it yet, in that case, is that the kind of content Google wants to rank? No, clearly not. Like, Google really understood what you were doing, they wouldn't rank you. And I think it's a mistake that content creators make in general is that, okay, it might be working now in that particular case. Who knows? Probably not that well. But let's say it is. Let's say it's working really well. That's not what Google wants to rank. And at a certain point, Google's going to figure it out. And now what are you left with?
Right. So the importance of writing on message, on brand, aligned to audience becomes a differentiation from an SEO standpoint. I mean, we've moved a long way from I'm going to add keywords to my metadata and Google will find me. I need to create clear, concise, consistent language that is on voice, on brand, and then I can start worrying about keywords.
Honestly, I wouldn't worry about keywords. If you're writing good content and you're writing it well, what other words are you going to use other than the keywords?
Oh, this is incredibly interesting. Okay, so my next question was going to be, is this profiling a good thing or a bad thing? And I think it's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing.
For companies that take it seriously and that act on this, it's a good thing. If you don't, I guess it's a bad thing. If you know this going in, if you've listened to this episode, like, ho, my goodness, this is way different than I thought. It's creating that set of guidelines when you build your content so that you're building, I'm going to use as a proxy, high quality content, content that's aligned to your audience, content that's speaking in the voice of your audience and delivering news that's relevant to your audience as a result of what you're trying to communicate. That in and of itself starts to create a competitive differentiation in the search space.
Correct. And when you think back to what SEO or what your association with what SEO was back in the day and what you might think it is now, it's a very, very different ballgame. And I think it's a good thing. And I think it's good for the web overall. You want Google to start thinking about content from a user experience, from a user first experience, as opposed to you want Google to know that you have a lot of links and you want Google to know you have a lot of keywords. That's not good for anybody other than maybe you if you're doing that well. But for the state of the internet, the state of the web, that's a terrible thing.
Let's start at the beginning. It is actionable. So how do I start? Let's say I'm building a brand new website. At some point, Google needs to understand what the point is, what I'm selling, offering, right, talking about. So they're doing that through the essentially the words and the content. Then they're going to try and make sense of who I'm communicating to, who my audience is, and whether I am speaking correctly to that audience.
Yes. Yeah. They want to know who you are and what you do. And therefore understand that they can trust you, they can rely on you, you're authoritative. Google doesn't want a user to go to a website from Google. The user will look like, this is one, not relevant, two, low quality, three, possibly malicious, and then bounce back to Google. Because users, the term people, when that happens to them, they don't just blame the website, but they also blame Google. Like, why did you send me there? Which is why quality is a cross-domain metric. Like, if you're going to one page, it's a good page. And then you go through the next page and it's garbage. It's spam. So that also reflects poorly back on Google. Like, Google, what is this website? So for course, quality is going to be across the entire domain, not on a page level. Because all of it reflects poorly back ultimately on Google. So Google wants to make sure that when it recommends a website, which is what the results are, they're a recommendation, that they can trust this website. The way I think about it is like, if you went to a doctor's office, and you walk in, you go to the receptionist and they say, hi, hello, sir. Hello, Morty. what are you here for? Your car insurance or to see the doctor? I'm like, you sell car insurance? Like, what? I wouldn't go to that doctor. I would be out of there in 3 seconds because I don't trust you because you don't have strong identity.
Maybe I need car insurance, though. I don't know.
maybe I do need the car insurance and forget the medical side. But you get what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to go to a place that clearly they themselves can't figure out who they are and what they are and what they're doing? They're all over the place. You lose trust when that happens. So the same thing with a website. In order for Google to understand who you are and what you're doing, because understanding who you are and what you're doing means they can trust you. And that starts very basic. It starts with having a very clear homepage. Who are you? What do you do? What problems do you solve? How do you solve those problems? Having an about page. It comes from having strong topical focus. If you're an ice skating rink, talk about ice skates. Talk about ice skating. Talk about hockey. Don't talk about light bulbs. Again, I'm being very extreme in the examples. Sure. But you kind of get what I'm saying. And it's not that complicated. Yes. Okay. Optimization is still a thing. You want to like add the keyword to your title tag. Yeah. Like those things can make a difference. Are they going to make the difference? No. I've seen plenty of websites. I know many, many websites because again, I'm working at Wix. I look at many websites. They bring in a lot of traffic. One site in particular, they bring in like 1 million users a month from Google. They don't have any H1s. They're going right to the H2. I mean, they're making a mistake. That's not a strong SEO practice, but the content's really good and it's really focused and it's really topical and it's really helpful and usable. So Google ranks it really well for super competitive keywords because does Google really care that you don't have the keyword in the title tag? Not as much as Google cares if you have really great content that helps users.
Write like you mean it with AcroLinks.
This turns things sort of upside down. Content marketing or digital teams create content and they hand it to SEO and SEO optimizes it for being found. What I'm hearing here is the opposite of that. SEO creates the guidelines for the creation of consistent content across the organization. And the people that create findability are content marketing and digital. It's not here, go make this be found. It's here, go create this. And if you create this way, good things will happen.
From the content strategy point of view, absolutely. Are there still things around sending signals to Google around canonicalization, your internal linking practices, duplicate content? Yeah, there are all sorts of signals you can be creating or sending to Google that you don't want to send. Or there could be technical issues with your website, or speed does factor in certain cases. If you're a news website, like your CNN versus a CBS, where the content's very similar, and one website's super slow and one website's super fast, so those kind of things play in. That very rarely, the speed case is a very bad example. It's really a tiebreaker and very significant, but offbeat cases, in my opinion. But there are technical foundational things that do fall into SEO. But from SEO, from a content point of view, absolutely. If someone's telling you like, yeah, I'm going to come in and going to work with your content team and I'm an SEO and they're all about optimizing keywords on the page, there's not a lot of value there, in my opinion.
Well, I have an agency I need to talk to. Yikes.
What they should be doing is helping you understand the ecosystem. What's happening on Google? What's working? What's not working? Where is there opportunity? And how do you get those opportunities? And a lot of this kind of stuff. And I think it's good for most websites because the better Google is at understanding websites and understanding content, the better it is for smaller websites. Right? Back in the day, if you were, say, I don't know, you were the Wall Street Journal, you were Walmart, one of these ginormous websites, you were getting tons of links. When Google is focused so much on links, those websites were killing it because they're getting all the links. But if it comes about content and it comes about quality content and topical focus and expertise, that opens the door for all sorts of websites. You don't have to be a Walmart. You don't have to have tons of links anymore. You have to have really good stuff. Obviously, it's all links still matter. Google still looks at links. I'm not saying no. But from a theoretical point of view, like you want Google to be focused on content and understanding content, which is what Google is focused on because it opens doors for you.
If I run marketing at a business software company and I'm listening to this episode, which literally everybody, just so you're clear, I am listening right now, real time, and this is blowing my mind. What do I need to do to rethink our approach to, let's say, our website, but our content in general to appear more relevant to Google? Like if I'm starting brand new, what do I need to do to implement a plan like you're running here?
Back in the day, I would answer you, well, you take your keywords and you throw them into an SEO tool and you use some keyword research and a competitor analysis and get a whole list of keywords and you create content for that.
Yep. Know how to do that. That's not right anymore.
Yeah, that's the best. You export a whole list of things. You write a blog post for each one of those keywords. Amazing. I would start like a marketer. I know to me it sounds so simple, but from an SEO point of view, we're not used to thinking like this. I would start like a marketer would, understanding your audience and really empathizing with them. What are the problems that they have? What's their life context? What's their life situation? What are the problems that they're going to have? What are the needs that they're going to have? When they get to your page as a content creator, is how I think of it personally. When they get to the page, what problems are they going to have with this webpage? Meaning, what do I need to explain better? I'm an old teacher, so they used to do this when I used to lesson plan. Lesson plan a lesson for kids. You're teaching the fourth grade. So you have kids who get it, kids who don't get it, kids who are behind, kids who have reading problems. And how do you sort of prevent those problems from happening in the lesson beforehand? Whether it's like you show a video over here to the kids first, now they have some background information. So then when you do the next thing, it makes a lot of sense. The same thing when you're writing content. You're empathizing with your audience, and then you're worrying about predicting what are their needs going to be? What problems are they going to have? Maybe I need to add a link over here to accent the information for those who don't fully get the point that I'm trying to make, which, by the way, Google could theoretically look at that and say, hey, that makes sense. They linked here and they're linking to a really great website. Great. Good job. And that does count towards SEO. What you link out to counts just like things that you get linked to. If you're linking out to good reputable sources at the appropriate times, Google looks favorably on that. But that, leaving that aside for a second, you want to think about what are the problems that they're going to have and try to solve those problems. That could be, okay, they got to this page, they have the information that they need, but now they're going to have a new problem. Now that they know this, they're going to have a next problem. Okay, so make sure I have that content too. Or make sure I put that content in a place where they know that it's there and they can access it. All of those things are going to naturally create, if you do that, you're going to naturally create a, I hate to use the word cluster, but a cluster of content or a library of content that deals with a particular topic in a way that it's layered, it's multifaceted, it's multi-stepped, and it's pretty comprehensive. And it's doing it in a way where it aligns with what users need. And that's really important. I'll give you like a real quick case. I know I'm rambling on at this point. There was a keyword that I was looking for. Google swapped out the URL, meaning there was a URL for one website that's ranking really well. Google killed that URL off from ranking and picked another one from the same website instead. Like, oh, what's going on here? It had to be about washing your hands. It's having to be totally random. I know it's a really weird keyword, but the keyword is like guide to washing your hands. And then I started researching, diving into it, and all of the top results, almost all of them, when they talk about washing your hands, also talk about hand sanitizers and when you should or shouldn't use them. But when you go to page two of the results, it gets a little spotty. Some pages do talk about it. Some pages don't talk about it. And what I think is going on is that profiling thing. Google's looking at the topic of washing your hands and saying, when you talk about washing your hands and how to do it, you need to talk about hand sanitizer. That's one of the topics you need to talk about. And if you don't, I'm not saying you won't rank, but it'll count against you. If you look at the content of your website as a whole, similar thing, you need to have all of the various topics and subtopics that Google thinks you should be covering. The only way to really do that is to think about your users, their journey, and their needs.
Real life example, when I joined the company that I work for now, for many years, the company talked about content quality, and I have a lot of opinions, and I feel like quality is a subjective term. It doesn't really mean anything, so I talked about content alignment. What I'm hearing here is Google says, yeah, cool, content alignment. But in order for that to become an important topic, it needs to include the concept of content quality. You can't just eliminate the thing because you don't think it's interesting. It's part of the answer. And if you don't explain your stance on content quality, the fact that you made up the idea of content alignment isn't necessarily the full answer. And so we'll go find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I knew that like 4.5 years ago. been really helpful.
Don't we all?
This is super actionable. This is something that content strategists at the enterprise level need to be thinking of. They're not necessarily involved in what would be considered the SEO function of their business. But you're saying the opposite of that. You're saying
they
are absolutely part of the SEO process because your content strategy needs to include all of this or else findability doesn't exist.
Correct. I mean, look, the end of the day, whatever it is, the content on the website is the commodity that people are looking for. So whether or not the site is fast or whether or not the site has the keyword in the title or the keyword in the title tag, that's not the commodity that people are looking for. They're looking for content. Google knows that. They're looking for good content. So good content should drive everything. I think it drives everything. I do a lot of branding. Good content drives branding. I know brand campaigns are cool. They need to be fun and exciting. But to me, good branding means consistent, well-received, on-target messaging. And that's like simple, as basic as having the tone of your content on your website match your audience so that it comes off the right way, that it's well received, that the site is well organized, well structured. All of that to me is well more important in branding than having a cool campaign like your Coca-Cola and a bunch of kids on the beach drinking Coke.
I need people listening right now that know what I do for a living to understand I did not know these were the answers. I am very happy these are the answers, because that's what I do. Our software drives that alignment. It's clarity, consistency, tone of voice, terminology, inclusion, accessibility, emotion of content. And we have for many years looked at findability as part of what we do. And we've prompted people to add language to their content to be able to be found. But the message that I'm hearing is that the first part of this is the thing that we do. It's creating that consistency across your content so that you sound like your audience wants you to sound. And if you're off that consistency, if your voice is wrong, Google cares about that. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Very much so. That's
Okay. We're going to need a part two of this. Like, do you run an agency on the side?
I wish I had time.
Maybe you should. Morty, if people want to find you, if I want to find you, to continue this conversation, what's the easiest way to get in touch?
Definitely not on TikTok.
Oh, now I'm going to look.
No, I don't have a TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok. Am I allowed on TikTok?
Okay, I'm insulted.
I don't dance and fall downstairs.
I don't. Fair enough. I'm not much of a dancer on TikTok either.
I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Twitter at Morty Oberstein, which is my name with the at sign in front of it.
Fantastic. Morty, thanks for being on the show. This is incredibly thought-provoking, very actionable. I'm very excited to go back and have conversations with agencies that I work with and people on my team. And I think that's going to be the general consensus from the audience. Again, thank you very much for being on the show. And I look forward to getting you back here.
My pleasure, and look forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to join us next time for more insights from people who love words. This podcast was brought to you by AcroLinks. Continue honing your enterprise content by checking out other episodes at acrolinks.com/wordbirds. If you have questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Chris and his team by sending a message to word.birds@acrolinks.com. That's all for now. See you next time.